Okay, today's daf is Erevin daf Nun Vav. We are holding on daf Nun Hey Amud Beis. We are at the very bottom of the page Nun Hey Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom. First order of business is to discuss, the Gemara is going to discuss about where Talmud Chacham should live. Talmud Chacham should have to live in a city that has vegetables in it, and we're going to discuss what kind of vegetables. And after, the Gemara is then going to mention the cities that have hills may not be so beneficial to live in, but then we're going to start figuring out how to square off a round city for the sake of measuring Tchum Shabbos. I mean, we're going to be back into discussing halachos of Tchum Shabbos. We're going to have two methods of figuring out where north and south are. If you want to square it off, we have to square it off in a way that each side is due north, due south, etc. And the Gemara Amud Beis calculates how much space you gain by squaring the city and then squaring the tchum around the city. That obviously gains you a lot of space in terms of how far you're allowed to walk in the corners, as opposed to if it was just a circle where it would always be 2,000 amos. The Gemara is then going to discuss on Amud Aleph the tkufos, the seasons of the year, describe how the solstice and equinox fall out, how they relate to planetary movements. So it's somewhat challenging for those who are not well versed, like myself, who are not well versed in the way these things work. So it's we have some challenging Gemara coming up, and then the daf is going to conclude with a discussion of the empty space that's left to surround the cities of the Levium and how to calculate the fractions of the Tchum Shabbos that the empty space occupies, which is it's geometry. So we have Tkufos and we have geometry today. So if those aren't your two favorite topics, Nunu, we'll do our best. So we're holding three lines from the bottom of the page Nun Hey Amud Beis. Amravuna Kal Ir Shein Ba Yerek Ein Talmud Chacham Rashay Ladurba. Any city that does not have vegetables, a Talmud Chacham is not allowed to live in such a city. Rashi says Lufisha Yerek Tov Lamachol VeNilkach Bezul VeYachol Lasuk Petora. Because vegetables are healthy, they're cheap, and if you have good cheap food, you'll be able to learn a lot of Torah because you won't have to spend so much money on food. So go to a city that has a lot of vegetable gardens and vegetables are cheap, and it will be wonderful. You'll be able to learn a lot of Torah. Not only that, any city that doesn't have vegetables, the Talmud Chacham is not allowed to live in it. That would be called Bittul Torah. Apparently setting himself up in a place where Ba'onas, he's going to have to work harder and not be able to learn as much. That's something he's not allowed to do. So says Gemara, wait a second, are vegetables really good for you? L'memra di'arik ma'alya, was mom telling the truth? Are vegetables healthy? Va'atanya, shlosh amar b'nes hazevel, there are three things that cause a person to have excessive amounts of waste. V'kof v'nes hakoma, and they cause a person to be hunched over. V'not l'nechon mechamish me'os mima or ein of shaladam, and they also take away our eyesight, 1/500th of our eyesight. The Eluhain, and the things that do this are pas kiber, coarse bread, v'shechar chadash, and new beer, v'yerek, and vegetables. So don't you see vegetables are bad for you? Says the Gemara, lo kasha, haba tumi v'karti, haba shar yarki. It depends what kinds of vegetables. Tumi v'karti, says Rashi, is lo malu, kach shamati, that he has a tradition that they're unhealthy, and other vegetables are healthy. But then he says, v'nir be'inai, tumi v'karti mali. He says, I think, even though my tradition was the other way, I believe tumi v'karti are good for you. V'achitani, chami, it says such nice things about what garlic can do for you. And leeks also, it says that it's good for the stomach. So Rashi says, I think tumi v'karti are good for you. Garlic and leeks are very good for you. And other vegetables probably are not as good for you. Kedetanya, shum yerek. Krishin chatzi yerek. Shum is a yerek. So again, if you say like the first pshat in Rashi, that's not a good thing to be called yerek. But if you say like the second pshat in Rashi, it is a good thing because we're trying to highlight that it's good. Krishin are chatzi yerek, which is either half bad according to the first pshat in Rashi or half good according to the second pshat in Rashi. Nira tznon, nira samchayim. But a radish, wow, that's samchayim already. That's a person's medicine for life. But didn't we learn that a radish is like poison? So lo kasha, kan ba'alin, kan bi'imos. It depends if you're talking about the leaves or the bulbs of the radish. So the alin, the leaves are bad for you, but the bulbs are good for you. The roots of the radish are good for you. Kan bi'imos hachama, kan bi'imos hageshamim. It also depends on wintertime or summertime. Rashi says in the summertime, in the imos hachama, it's good for you because it's mitzanin in a saguf. It's called a tznon, a radish, because it's mitzanin. It cools off the body, and you don't need to be cooled off, nor do you want to be cooled off during the winter time. During the summertime, it's certainly beneficial for a person to be cooled off. So, good, we have a halacha in this Gemara, that is, a city that doesn't have vegetables, Talmud Chacham is not allowed to live in the city. Typically, these kinds of statements in the Gemara, the Rambam would paskin. The Rambam, however, does not paskin this Gemara. So, Rav Tzaduk in Otzar HaMelech asks why the Rambam leaves it out, and he explains that maybe Rav Huna's Chiddush, that Talmud Chacham is not allowed to live in a city that doesn't have vegetables, is tali in a machlokas in the Gemara in Chulin daf pei dalet amud aleph. The Gemara in Chulin has a machlokas amoraim that Rav is choshesh from Blazer ben Azariah, who says that someone who has only one mana, what should he do with that money? Yikach l'kederaso litra shel yerek, and he should buy a litra shel yerek, vegetables, and not buy any more expensive foods. But if he has a sara mana, then he should buy a litra shel dagim. If he has chamishim mana, he should buy a litra shel basar. He should buy some more and more expensive foods. And if he has mea mana, yish shelo kederas shel basar b'chol yom, he should have meat every single day of his life. According to Rav, a person should not buy fish and meat unless he has an excess amount of money. Rav Huna was Rav's Talmud, so Rav Huna is going to hold like Rav, and therefore he holds that Talmud Chacham should have only Yerakos, so that he should only try to live in a city that has vegetables, because having higher quality foods only if you happen to have more money. However, the Rambam maybe holds like Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan Chulin over there says that Rav was from a mishpachas briyim. He was from a particularly healthy family. They were particularly robust and strong, and therefore they were able to get by with eating less, with eating a lot of salads, a lot of vegetables. But people like us, who are not quite as healthy as Rav's family, even if a person only has pruta achas betoch kiso, he should immediately run to the storekeeper and buy mazon kol tzorcho, buy whatever food he wants, whatever food he needs, because he needs to be stronger. So Rav Nachman says, people like us, that we're even weaker, we should even, Rav Nachman goes a step further, we should even borrow money in order to buy whatever food we want, even basar, even dagim, we should buy food that will nourish us and make us happier and strengthen us. And that's why maybe the Rambam left out Rav Huna, because anytime it's wherever it says when Rav Huna says that a person should live in a place that a Talmud Chacham should dafka live in a place that has vegetables, that assumes that that's an ideal diet for a Talmud Chacham, that he should be a vegetarian. But the Rambam's paskening not love dafka vegetarian. Yantiv yitzav, I'm just saying that you should emphasize vegetables in the diet. But the Rambam's paskening, maybe like the other day, says Rav Tzaddik, that meat should be, you should eat as much meat as possible. It's good news, right? You should eat as much meat as possible. So that's what the Rambam is emphasizing. So he also writes, Rav Tzaddik writes, that Rav Huna is only speaking to a Talmud Chacham, that we don't want a Talmud Chacham working too hard for his money, because we want him to have a lot of time to learn. What if a person is not a Talmud Chacham? So then it's good for him to work. Work is healthy, says Rav Tzaddik. That's what the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos. Yigia Shneim, Talmud Torah im derech eretz is mishkach hazavon. That it's not a bidyevet for a person to work. That if a person is not a Talmud Chacham, he's not going to be able to spend all of his time learning Torah. So then it's to lechatchila that he should work very hard. He'll be productive in life. Okay, so the other point that the poskim raised, Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld in Salmas Chayim in Madura Tinyani, Yarodeya Simon Sadivav, says, isn't this against the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos? Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, Kachi Darka Shal Torah, Pas Melch Tochel, Mayim Mishur Tishta, Val Arz Tishon, so that a person should eat very little, should have Pas Melch Tochel. Our Gemara, it sounds like Talmud Chacham, should make sure that he has plenty to eat by living in a place where vegetables are cheap, so he'll be able to eat as much as he wants. So he views it the other way. Not that vegetables are the lightest and the smallest amount of food, but that vegetables are, what do you mean? We're saying that you should eat tons and tons of vegetables, and that's why, and the Mishnah says, Pas Melch Tochel. So Rav Yosef Chaim says, when the Mishnah is talking in Pirkei Avos, it's talking Midas Chasidus, that it's not a Chiyuv. And that's why you can't ask such a stira. Our Gemara is talking about what a normal person is going to do, that a normal person who is not observing every Midas Chasidus should do, and that's to make sure that he has ample food by going to a place that has vegetables. Another ha'ara the Achronim have over here is we said that a few things that are particularly unhealthy. One of them is Sheikhar Chadash, is new beer. So Sheikhar Chadash seems to be worse than old beer. Old beer apparently is better, that only new beer is damaging. The Gemara in Bab Basud of Sadi Alfam Bey says that there are three things that Chadash Yosar Tov Me'a Yashan, where new things are better than the old. Typically old things are better. There are three instances where new things are better. One of them is beer. New beer is better than old beer. So it seems like a stira in the two sugyas. So in the Be'er Avram, he's metarets that there's a difference between Sheikhar Tamarim and Sheikhar Sa'orim. It depends what the beer is made out of, if it's made with barley or if it's made with dates. Sheikhar Tamarim, new is better than old. Sheikhar Sa'orim, old is better than new. And his rayas from a Braisa Mesecha Shabbos Kuflamites. The Braisa says, Matilin Sheikhar B'moed L'tzorach HaMoed, Shalol L'tzorach HaMoed Aser, that you're allowed to make beer on Yontif if it's for Yontif, but not if it's not for Yontif. Then the Braisa says, Echad Sheikhar Tamarim ve'echad Sheikhar Sa'orim. Afal pi sheyesh lan yashan marim v'shosa min achadash. Even if you have beer, you're allowed to make both Sheikhar Tamarim and Sheikhar Sa'orim. So apparently the Braisa is trying to tell me a chiddush, that even though you have beer, it's still called the Tzorach HaMoed to make new beer. What's the chiddush in telling me Echad Sheikhar Tamarim ve'echad Sheikhar Sa'orim? It must be that in one of these beers, the new beer is not really better than the old beer. And afal pi kain, if you want to have new beer, you're allowed to make it on Yantif. That's called the Tzorach HaMoed. You could do a Arama in order to be able to make it on Yantif. And that would still be considered a Tzorach HaMoed. So that's his raya, that there's a difference between Sheikhar Tamarim and Sheikhar Sa'orim in terms of what they do for us, in terms of whether they're healthy or not healthy. Okay, weiter in the Gemara now, about five lines in on Nun Vav Amr Aleph. Amr Rav Yudah Amr Rav. Kalir Sheyesh B'malus Amardos, Adam Behema Sheba Mason Bechatzi Mehen. Any city that has a lot of inclines, a lot of hills, a person and animals that live there are going to die Bechatzi Mehen. They're going to die halfway through their lives, meaning it's going to be very unhealthy for a person to live like that. Mason Salkadaitok says, really, they're going to die? Sounds a little bit harsh. So Ela Ema Mazkinim Bechatzi Mehen. No, it means they're going to age early. They're going to look old when they're really young. Amrav Huna Bredi Rav Yeshua Hani Mulyusa Debei Biri Debei Geresh Azkunun. Rav Huna Bredi Rav Yeshua says, yeah, if you want to know why I look so old, it's because I spent all my life walking between two cities that have a lot of steep inclines, and that took a lot out of me. It's interesting, in Maseches Ksubos and Daf Pei Hei, Rava refers to Rav Papa and Rav Huna Bredi Rav Yeshua as Kaki Chivri, as white geese. So why did he refer to them as white geese? So Rashi says, because they had white hair, they looked old. So the Achronim point out, it could be that he called them that. People always, meaning it's like we always say, it's better to, right, getting old beats the alternative, right? So why would you, saying that a person got old? Okay, good, so he got old. If he looks his age, that's fine. No, he called them Kaki Chivri Dafka because they didn't look their age. They aged prematurely. So that's what he was saying. Why did Rav Huna B'Rei Rav Yeshua age prematurely? So he tells us right here. He aged prematurely because he was always walking up hills and walking down hills, and that caused him to look older than he really was. So the nickname that Rava called him seems to make a little more sense in light of this Gemara. Tan Rabbanan. So now we go back to Halachos of Tchum before we get to the Tkufos. Tan Rabbanan. If you want to square off a city, so the way to draw the square, see, when the city is a rectangle or a square, so the borders, the straight borders are already straight borders. You don't get to decide where to make those straight borders. But when you're squaring off a circle city, you could make the square in any angle that you want. So when you're squaring off the city, you should do it in a way that is beribua olam, that one full side of the square faces directly north, one side faces directly east, directly south, directly west. So nosin tzfon l'tzafon, olam udrom l'dorom olam, etc. Due north, due south. And if you have trouble figuring out where north is and where south is, look at the constellations, look at the stars. Egla b'tzafon, the Taurus is in the north. V'akrev b'dorum, and Scorpion is in the south. So you look at the constellations. If you're familiar with the constellations, you should be able to figure out where north and where south is. And that way, when you square off the city, you'll know how to do it. Rabbi Yossi Omer, im ein yodeh l'rabba b'ribur shalolam, mirabba kimin hatkufa. He says, well, if you can't can't figure it out that way by looking at the constellations, well, look at the sun and you should be able to figure out. Look at the sun during different seasons of the year. You should be able to figure out exactly where north and where south is. Ketzad, how are you going to figure it out by looking at the sun? So it's as simple. Chama yotze biyom aruch, vishoka'as biyom aruch, zeo p'nei tzafon. Look at where the sun rises and where the sun sets on the longest day of the year. Draw that line from where the sun rises to where the sun sets, from east to west, on the longest day of the year, and that line is the northern side of the sky. Because on the longest day of the year, it travels across the northern side of the sky. Chama yotze biyom katzar, vishoka'as biyom katzar, zeo p'nei darom. Draw a straight line on the shortest day of the year from where the sun rises to where the sun sets, and you're going to see that's the southern side of the sky. And that way you'll know which way exactly is north, which way is south. Tkufas Nisan, Tkufas Tishrei, Chama Yotza Bechatzi Mizrach, Vishokaas Bechatzi Marav. But in Tkufas Nisan, Tkufas Tishrei, the equinox, the spring equinox and the fall equinox, so then it's going to be directly in the middle of the sky. It's going to come halfway from the in the Mizrach, halfway in the Marav. Shenemar Holich Eldorim V'Soviv El Tzafon. Holich Eldorim Biyom, that it goes to, the sun goes toward the south during the day, V'Soviv El Tzafon Belayla, and it circles around north at night, Soviv Sovev Holich Haruach, and it goes all around and around. Elu Pnei Mizrach, Pnei Marav, Pam Malachtan, Pam Savavtan. That refers to the eastern side of the sky and the western side of the sky, where sometimes it goes around them and sometimes it goes across those parts of the sky. So that's how to figure out where north and where south is. Just watch the angle of, not the angle of the sun, but draw a line from where the sun rises and the sun sets on the longest day of the year, on the shortest day of the year, and then you'll have it all figured out. So Amar Rav Misharshi, Les Nula Ani Klali. Second time Rav Misharshi had this, that he doesn't like the Klalim. He didn't like it with Klali Apsak, right? I think it was that Rav Misharshi rejected the Klali Apsak. So Les Nula Ani Klali. I don't like this this way of figuring out where north is, where south is. I don't think it's true. I don't think you're going to have, says Rav Misharshi, you're going to be able to figure out exactly where the due north and due south is by using this, because the Tanya Lo Yatzacham. Even on the longest day of the year, the sun doesn't rise all the way in the northeastern corner and set all the way in the northwestern corner, so that when you draw a straight line, you'll be all the way north. And even on the shortest day of the year, it doesn't rise all the way in the southeastern side of the sky, nor does it set all the way in the western part of the sky. It doesn't happen that way. Meaning, even on the longest day of the year, the sun doesn't really rise all the way in the northeastern, etc. And so it rather rises halfway between the northeastern corner and directly east, sets halfway between the northwestern corner and directly west. And the same is true for where it rises and sets along the southern horizon on the shortest day of the year, that it's really it's really halfway. It's not all the way. So that's where Mesharshia rejects this rule. So once we're discussing this, the Gemara discusses a little bit about the seasons of the year and about the various mazalos, the various stars. That will take us till the end of this Amud. So a couple of points of introduction. First of all, should we be learning this? Is this a waste of our time? So Rav Zilberstein, Chashuk Echemed, was asked by a Magid Shir, who says Shir al Seder HaShas, and he knows that no one's going to understand what he's talking about when he starts talking about the Tkufos and the Mazalos and the Chashbonos and things like that. So Ha'im Roy Ledalik, V'Lavar Ledapim Sheyoser Kala, Hasbir Lavin. Should he skip ahead and say, you know what, no one gets geometry either, we'll start with the Mishnah and then Zayin Amin Aleph. Let's get past all of it and we'll go straight to the Mishnah and Zayin Amin Aleph. We'll be able to say over such a nice Torah there. So Rav Zilberstein says the Gemara and Shabbos Tavayin Hey, Amar Alv tells us, Amar Rav Shulman ben Achmeni, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Minayin shemitzvah aladam l'chashiv tkufos u'mazalos. How do I know that there's a mitzvah to make a cheshbin of the tkufos u'mazalos? Shenemar, pasuk in the Torah, u'shmartem v'asisem, ki hi chachmaschem u'vinaschem le'enei amim. It's not referring to Torah in general only. It's referring dafka to tkufos u'mazalos. What's the chachma bina that's le'enei amim? That the amim are going to be able to understand that this is chachma bina. It's science. It's some astrology's thing that they can relate to. So from that Gemara, it sounds like we have a very big inyan to make sure to do this properly. However, Mishnah Pirkei Avos tells us, from Lozim Rechasma Omer, Kinen u'pischei nida heinen gufei halachos. You want to know what ikar halachos are? Kinen and pischei nida. To learn hilchos vestos and kinen. That's the gufei halacha. And tkufos u'gematrios parparos l'chachma. But tkufos and gematrios, that's just parparos l'chachma. That's like a little extra spice, but it's not really the ikar. It's interesting. What is the ikar? Math is the ikar. Kinen and pischei nida is all mathematical. That's the ikar. But tkufos and gematrios, but when you're looking at the stars and you're figuring out gematrios, that's the gematrios is a little bit of math also, that's parparos l'chachma. So the Kesef Mishnah says that even though tkufos and gematrios are things that are very important and very nice, they're not the ikar, they're parparos l'chachma. So then maybe it's better for us to skip ahead and go straight to things that are the ikar, that aren't just the parparos. So Rav Zilberstein said he asked his father-in-law and his brother-in-law, which is very good when your father-in-law is Rav Eliyashiv and your brother-in-law is Rav Chaim Kanievsky. So he asked Rav Eliyashiv, and Rav Eliyashiv said that the tkufos are parparos l'chachma and they're not gufa Torah. That's only when you're making the mathematical calculations outside of Shas. But whatever the Rambam paskins in Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh, whatever it says in the Gemara, that's also mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So meaning forgetting whether it's just parparos l'chachma, when you're actually learning the sugyas, it's certainly Talmud Torah and becomes gufa halachos, and you certainly shouldn't skip it. And so Rav Chaim Kanievsky said the same thing. You don't skip even a single line of the Gemara. You don't skip anything in the Gemara, because even though we may not understand it so well, the more you read through it once, you understand a little bit. Then the second time, you understand a little better. So you have to keep trying. You keep understanding a little more and more. And he says, Adarabba, when you skip a daf, it's being mevaza that daf of Gemara. Shouldn't be mevaza that daf of Gemara. Similar to what the Tshuva Shvos Yaakov writes, that if a person has about to light Neros Chanukah, and he has wax candles that he's about to light, and then someone comes with oil as he was about to light, he should light the wax candles, because it's a bizayin to dafka pass over that which you were about to use for a mitzvah. So it's called the chomer, a daf gemara. The wax candles have no kedusha, but it's a kal v'chomer for a daf gemara that you shouldn't skip over, even if it's a little bit difficult for a person to learn. And that's his analysis. So we got to learn it. Okay, so let's see. So a couple of points of introduction. First of all, the solar year is 365 1/4 days, or at least that's what we assume, like the sheet of Shmuel, that the solar year is exactly 365 1/4 days. 365 days, 6 hours. Therefore, when you divide the solar year, this is all about the solar year. When you divide the solar year into four seasons based on the equinox and the solstice, so you divide it into four equal seasons. Each season is 91 days, 7.5 hours. And that's how the cheshbon comes out. It will work out perfectly, 365 1/4 days. We multiply it by four. So each season is 91 days, 7.5 hours. Now the first season ever started on Wednesday night. The Kodesh Baruch Hu was told of the Ma'oros at 6 p.m. of Ma'isa Bereishis. So that was the assumption, and therefore continued on that cheshbon, where 6 p.m. was the key point in time. The Gemara later on is also going to tell us that there are seven constellations that work on an hourly cycle, that each one is sholeit, each one rules for 1 hour, and we're going to see how that, the interplay between that and the seasons. But first, let's see Amar Shmuel. Ain't kufas nisan ofeles. Whenever the spring equinox falls out, it's always going to be either ela ba'arba'a rivei ayom, o betchilas ayom, o betchilas halayla, o b'chatzi ayom, o b'chatzi halayla. There are four quarter points of the day that it always falls out exactly at those points. So it's either at chatzos or at 12 hours of the day. It always works out that way, because again it goes on an annual cycle, and the annual cycle is 365 days and a quarter, so it works out exactly a quarter day. So since it starts at 6 p.m., so it's always going to fall out. Next year is going to be 12 a.m. and then the following year 6 a.m. and then the following year 12 p.m. It's always going to work out that way. That's the Tkufas Nisan. Vein Tkufas Tammuz. Now, if you go one season later from Tkufas Nisan to Tkufas Tammuz to the summer solstice, so the summer solstice is 91 days, 7.5 hours after the spring equinox. So when's that going to fall out? So it could also happen at four points in the day. But those four points are Ela o ba'achas o mechza, o b'shevo mechza, either an hour and a half into the day, meaning 1:30, or 7:30, bein b'yom bein b'layla, whether a.m. or p.m. Again, it's not exactly a.m. or p.m., but if you get the idea, that either 1.5 hours into the day, 7.5 hours into the day, because if you go 91 days, 7.5 hours later from when the spring equinox was. If the spring equinox, let's say, was at 12 o'clock, so 91 days, 7.5 hours later, is going to be 7:30. And if the spring equinox was at 6 o'clock, so 91 days, 7.5 hours later, is going to be 1:30. So that's why it always works out in that way. That Vein Tkuvas Tishrei, now you move into the next season, the fall equinox, which again, 91 days, 7.5 hours later, so Vein Tkuvas Tishrei no fellas, Ella O B'Sholosh Shaos, O B'Teisha Shaos, Bein B'Yom Bein B'Laila. It's always going to be 3 hours into the day, 9 hours into the day, 3 hours into the night, 9 hours into the night. Why? Because if the previous season was 1:30 or 7:30, so the next season, when you add 7.5 hours, is going to be 9 o'clock or 3 o'clock. If it was 7:30, you add 7 hours, so you're going to get to 3 o'clock. If it was 1:30, you add 7 hours, you can get to 9 o'clock. So that's the way it's always going to work out. And then the final season, Vein Tkufas Teves, the winter solstice, again, move ahead 7.5 hours. Nofelis, Ella Oba Arba Mechza, Oba Esra Mechza, either 4.5 hours or 10.5 hours, Bein Biyom Bein Belayla, into either the day or night. So that's the way it's always going to work out. That's very simple mathematics, not that hard to figure out. Ve'ein Bein Tkufa L'Tkufa, Ella Tishrei Mechad Yom Hashav Hashos Mechza. Just that line probably should have come earlier, so we mentioned it earlier, that from one season to the next season, it's always going to be 91 days, 7.5 hours, and that's why these times all work out. That's why the solstices and the equinoxes are so easy to figure out in terms of when they're going to fall, because you always have exactly 91 days, 7.5 hours, because again, we're assuming that the solar calendar is exactly 365 days and 6 hours. It's exactly that amount of time. Now, how many halachos relate to the solar calendar? Why do we care so much about the solar calendar? So there are two halachos and one minug that relate to the solar calendar. The halacha, the number one halacha relates to the solar calendar is what we just had a few years ago. We're going to have in another 25 years. Birchas Hachama certainly relates to the solar calendar. That the bracha that we dafka have a hakpada that we say berovam, we get together on Yom Tkufas Nisan of the first year in the Machzor Chama happens once every 28 years. Meaning what we do is we try to find that we wait for the time when the sun is exactly back to its original position. That the Gemara in Bracha says, when the Chama is Nimtzeis, but also Makom Shaisa B'Shas HaBriya, when the sun is exactly where it was at the time that the world was created, at the Tlias HaMa'oros, when Hashem hung the Ma'oros, so he put up the sun at 6 p.m. on that Wednesday. So we make a bracha of also ma'isa bereishis. So and obviously we did that in Nisan Tavshin Samach Tes and Erev Pesach. So we're going to wait another little while till we do that again. The second din that relates to Yemos HaChama is the zman of she'ilas geshamim in galus. When do we start davening for rain? So we're shol geshamim b'shishim l'tkufa, the 60th day after Tkufas Tishrei. So Tkufas Tishrei begins in the period of time that we're in now in history, on the 7th day of October, based on the Gregorian calendar. And so 60 days into that Tkufa is the 5th day of December. So good, that's the second halacha. There's also a minug that's telling this, that people are knowing not to drink water at the Shas HaTkufa Michshash Sakana. This is quoted in the Beis Yosef in Archaim Sim Tafnun Hei, and the Ramah over there, and the Ramah in Yoredeya by Dvarim HaMavim Lidei Sakana Sim Kuf Tazayin. So that minug also relates to the Tkufos. Now it's interesting, by these two dinim, the Tcheshman of Tkufos, we follow Shmuel in our Sugya, that a solar year is 365 days and 6 hours, and that's it, and we always go exactly with Shmuel's calculation. However, there's another din where we don't exactly follow Shmuel, that's also Nogea La'alacha. When it comes to being Kovea, the Luach Hashanah, where we try to make the lunar calendar match up to the solar calendar, so what do? We add an extra Adar, 7 out of every 19 years, we add an extra Adar. Now we're going to add an Adar into next year so that we don't have a snowstorm on Pesach. We're going to have to add an Adar into next year. So Ma'abar Chodesh, nor the Chag HaPesach, should always be B'Chodesh HaAviv, and every 19 years is we are ma'aber 7 years. So since Yontif of Shnos HaChama always comes 7 years since 19 solar years will always equal 19 lunar years, that 12 of them are, when 12 of them are not mubaros and 7 of them are mubaros, so that's why we do it 7 out of every 19 years. The problem is that cheshbon doesn't work out precisely according to Shmuel. According to Shmuel, there will be a little bit left over in each cycle. 1 hour and tafpei hei chalakim will be left over in each cycle. It won't work out precisely. So the Rambam writes in Kiddush HaChodesh, Parak Tes, Halacha Aleph, Shnas HaChama Yesh Mechachmei Yisrael Sha'omrim Shisholosh Meos Chamisha V'Shishim Yom U'Revi'a Yom Shu Sheisha'os. He quotes Shmuel Shita, that some say it's exactly 365 and a quarter days. V'Yesh Me'en Sha'omrim Shu Pachos Me'Revi'a Hayom. And some say it's not quite 365 and a quarter. It's a little bit less than that. The Chain Chachme Yavan Uparas Yesh B'nei Machlokas B'davrzeh says the Rambam, the rabbis aren't the only people that argue about this. The Greek Chachamim and the Persian Chachamim also argue about this. And in the beginning of the 10th parak, the Rambam explains exactly how long the year is according to that second Shita that he calls Tkufas Ravada, and that's how we figure out the lunar and the solar calendar, based on Tkufas Ravada, not based on Tkuva Shmuel. So it comes out a little bit odd that we have certain halachas that we follow Shmuel's cheshbon and certain halachas that we don't follow Shmuel's cheshbon. Okay, but be that as it may, our Gemara is about Shmuel's cheshbon. So says Gemara Vayter, Ve'in Tkuva Moshechus Michavrta El Chatzi Sha'a. One Tkuva is only going to bite into its friend by a half hour. Meaning, what he's saying is as follows, that there are 7 constellations, like we said, and every hour a different constellation serves on a constant cycle, right? Right? So a number that's divisible by 7, you know that you can have the same constellation that you had when you started with. Meaning if you go 28 hours later, you're working with the same constellation. So what if you go 91 days, 7.5 hours later? So are you in the same constellation? So you're a half hour, you're only a half hour ahead, because 91 days and 7 hours is divisible by 7. So since that's divisible by 7, so if you start with constellation number 1, let's call it, and 91 days, 7.5 hours later, you'll be halfway through that constellation, because that constellation serves for 1 hour. You're only a half hour later on the cycle. V'amr Shmuel, ein lucha tkufas nisan shenofelos b'tzedek shein meshaberes hasilana. So then Shmuel just tells us that there are certain things that happen in this world as a result of when certain tkufos happen. So tzedek, which is Jupiter, I think, there could be some calamities in the world. It's going to break all the trees. When Tkufas Nisan happens during the cycle where Jupiter is the lead constellation. And if Tkufas Teves falls out during Tzedek, during Jupiter, it will dry up all the seeds. But that's only if the moon is either during the time of the Molad HaLevana is either during Levana or during Tzedek, when one of those two constellations are there. So some physical calamities can strike if the season starts when certain stars are serving. Again, but that's provided that the Molad of the equinox was either in the hour of the moon or the hour of Jupiter. So then if the Nisan equinox is in the hour of Jupiter, the trees will be ruined. Teve solstice in the hour of Jupiter, the seeds are all going to dry out. Okay, that's our astronomy lesson for the day. Tan Rabbanim. Back to more exciting things of measuring Tchum Shabbos. So Tan Rabbanan, Hamarabeya Eseir. Someone wants to square off a city in order to figure out Tchum Shabbos. So Osa Kamin Tavla Merubaas. You make a square, you make it like a square tile. Square off the city, a Tavla Merubaas. V'choz Merabeya Esa Tchumin, V'osa Osa Kamin Tavla Merubaas. And then not only do you square off the city, you square off the Tchum Shabbos. Meaning you don't just go 2,000 amos from each, 2,000 amos from in each direction from the city itself, but you have to make sure that the tchum is a perfect square. If you just took a square and made 2,000 amos this way, 2,000 amos that way, 2,000 amos that way, 2,000 amos that way, then the corners would have nothing, and the tchum itself won't be a square. It will be a bunch of right angles. It would go out, and keep on knocking out the corners. So you can't do that. You got to make it a perfect square around the city, which itself is a perfect square. Ukshu modeid Lo yimdod me'emtsa keren alpayim ama. And when you're figuring out how to draw that square around the city, don't measure 2,000 amos from the corner of the city. Because then if you measure 2,000 amos from the corner of the city, it's going to have to be rounded off corners. And the tchum is going to have to be rounded off. The tchum won't be able to be a square. Because if the tchum area is a perfect square, it's going to be a lot more than 2,000 amos off to the corner. It's going to be at an angle. When you go straight up from the city, straight north, straight west, straight east, straight south, that's going to be 2,000 amos. When you go in the corners, it's obviously going to have to be a little more if you really square off the tchum. Ela maybe tavlum rubas she alpayim ama alpayim ama umanicha bekeren ba'alachsona. So not only do you take ki'ilu a 2,000 by 2,000 amos square and put it north of the city and south of the city and east of the city and west of the city, take another 2,000 by 2,000 amos square and put it in each corner also. So the city itself is surrounded by 8 2,000 by 2,000 amos squares. Right, all around the city, in each side and in each corner around the city, and that's the way to measure Tchum Shabbos. So you end up with actually a lot more than 2,000 amos in certain angles when you travel in certain directions. And the Gemara does that cheshbon. Nimtzei seir mistakeres arba meos amos lekan v'arba meos amos lekan. It will turn out that when you have a perfectly circular city and you square off the city first before we even start measuring the Tchum, we square off the city. In the corners, we gain the city itself. Gains an extra 400 amos. Who made up that number? 400 amos? Let's say the city itself is only a 10 amos circle. So you square it off, you're not gaining 400 amos, you're gaining a much smaller amount than that. And the city itself is a 25,000 amos circle. So when you square it off, you're gaining a lot more than 4,000 amos. So what does it mean that it's that you gain 4,000 amos? So the Gemara is going to say we're assuming a certain size city. We'll get to it in a second. We're assuming a certain size of the city where you're going to gain 400 amos. Where you're going to gain 400 amos in the corners. Nimtzu tchumen. And if you assume that, then the tchumen mistakrin ches meos amos lekan ushmona meos lekan. The tchumen are going to gain 800 amos in each corner when you go at an angle from the corners of the city. Meaning, if you go straight from the top border of the city, you got to measure 2,000 amos. But what if you go angling out from the corner of the city to the corner of the square that is the Tchum Shabbos? So then it's not going to be 2,000 amos, it's going to be 2,800 amos because you've squared off the Tchum of the city. Nimtzu ir the Tchum mistakrin. So it turns out that from the edge of where your city actually ends, if you go out in the corner, in the place where you can have the most space to go till you reach the Tchum, directly in the corners, you're actually going to be able to travel an extra 1,200 amos beyond what you would normally expect, the 2,000 amos you would normally expect. You're actually going to be able to walk 3,200 amos outside of your city when you go in certain directions. Other directions, you're only going to be able to walk 2,000 amos. But in certain directions, you're going to be able to walk 3,200 amos outside of the city. Amar Abaye, umeshkachas lo b'masa dav yitrei alpi yitrei alpi. By the way, Abaye says, I'm talking about a city that's 2,000 amos by 2,000 amos. That if you're dealing with such a size city, that's where you gain the 400 amos in the corners to the city itself, and that's where you gain the 800 amos in the tchum. Tanya, the 800 amos you gain no matter what, but the 400 amos in the city itself really depends on the size of the city. Tanya, Amar Blazer Rabbi Yossi, Tchum Ari Levim Alpayim Amma. The Tchum of the cities of Levim is 2,000 amos. Semehen Elef Amma Migrash. Now, of those 2,000 amos, 1,000 amos is supposed to be left Migrash, supposed to be left uncultivated with nothing doing, a completely empty space. Nimsa Migrash Revia, Vashar Sado Sukramim. So it turns out that one quarter of the area is left empty space, and the rest of it is fields and vineyards. So says Gemara Minani Mili. What are you talking about? That it's half of the, we just said that 1,000 amos around the area of Levium is left empty. The Tchum is 2,000 amos. So that's one quarter. That's one half. It doesn't add up, right? 1,000 is half of 2,000. So Amar Rav, so first we say, Minayim, where do we see this from, that there's a Migrash of 1,000 amos? Amar Rav, Amar Kram, Yikiri, Ir V'chutza, Elef Amos Saviv. From the wall of the city and outside is 1,000 amos. So Amar Torah, Savevas Hi'ir Be'elef, Nimsa Migrash Revia. So the Torah says that you should have 1,000 amos area surrounding the city that you leave empty, and therefore the Migrash, the empty area, is one quarter. Says Gemara, Revia? Halgahavi, that's not a quarter, that's a half. If the tchum around the city is 2,000 amos, then the migrash is 1,000 amos, 1,000 is half of 2,000. So Amar Rav Ad bar Meshucha'a, Azbuli, Mishkachasla, Barad Meshucha, Barad the measurer, explained it to me, Mishkachasla b'masa, da have your trey alfi, a trey alfi. Take a city that's 2,000 amos by 2,000 amos. Let's assume you have a city that's 2,000 amos by 2,000 amos. Tchum kama havya, shitza. So how much is the tchum going to be? It's going to be 16,000. Meaning, if you take the 2,000 by 2,000 amos squares that are due north, due south, due east, and due west of the cities, which is the classic tchum, so that's going to be 16,000 square. It's going to be four squares that are each 2,000 by 2,000 amos, which is 16 million square amos. Kronos Kamahavin, but remember we said we don't just surround the city with four squares that are 2,000 by 2,000 amos, we surround it with eight squares that are 2,000 by 2,000 amos, because you have squares of 2,000 by 2,000 amos in each corner also. So how much do the Kronos, those squares in the corner, add up to? Shitzar, another 16 million square amos. So now the city is surrounded by 32 million square amos. Dalt Manya de Tchumen, Varba de Kronos, Kamahavi, Tresar. So take away the 8 million of the Tchumen and 4 million from the Kronos, and you're going to be left with that's going to be 12. Meaning, when we draw the 1,000 amos circle around the city, that circle eats more into the areas that are directly north, directly south, directly east, and directly west, than it does into the areas that are off in the corners. So you're going to take 8 million square amos from the boxes that are north, east, south, and west, and 4 million square amos from the corners, and therefore you'll have 12 million square amos out of the 36 million square amos, and that's why we said that it's a quarter. Nimsa migrash revia, so it turns out that it's a quarter. Says Gemara, no, that doesn't work out either. Tzvemi tvasininu, that's more than, I'm sorry, I have 32 million square amos. It's 12 million square amos out of the 32 million square amos. That's a quarter. Says Gemara, no, that's more than a third. 12 million of 32 million is way more than a third. So I see arba demasa shadi alayu. Says Gemara, no, but you're only cheshbening the total area of the tchum of the 2,000 amos around the city. We should also cheshbon the area of the city itself. The city itself is another 4 million square amos. So the total area we're dealing with is not 32 million amos. The total area we're dealing with is 36 million amos. Of those 36 million square amos, how many of them are made up of the migrash, of the empty area around the city? So that is 12 out of the 36. So that's a quarter. Says Gemara, no, 12 out of 36, akati, tilsahavi. It's still just a third. It's still not a quarter. So if you're dealing with a square city that's 2,000 amos by 2,000 amos, the migrash around the city is only going to be one third of the total area, the total box that the tchum encloses. So says Gemara, mi savrit peribua kamar, biyugula kamar. Who said we're talking about a square city? We're talking about a round city. So the point is, we're talking about that's the point. We're talking about a round city with a diameter of 2,000 amos. And then you have to square off the city, and then you measure the tchum around that. Kama maruba yeser ali igul revia. How much larger is a square than the circle that it encloses? It is one quarter larger. So dal revia minayu. So take out of the migrash that we cheshbon of being 12 million square amos of migrash. It's not 12 million square amos of migrash. You got to take some of that goes back to the city because we squared off the city. A quarter of it goes back to the city. So it's really 9 million square amos of migrash. So now you have 9 million square amos of migrash, and the tchum, the area that the tchum surrounds, remains the same. The area that the tchum surrounds is 36 million square amos. So of the 36 million square amos, the 9 million, v'tisha mitos v'shisa, rivahavi, turns out to be exactly one quarter. So that's how Rava arrives at his cheshbon. Now we're going to have three more answers to how to explain this, but we'll get to those tomorrow. Let me just mention, there is a major machlokas rishonim that this sugya seems to cause serious problems for one shita. The pesukim say in Bamidbar Perek Lamed Hey, Umigrash Ha'arim Asher Titnu Leviyim Mikirir V'chutza Elef Amos Saviv. So the Amoraim already have a problem with the Pesukim, that the Pesukim explain that there's 1,000 amos around the Ariel Levim, then they explain that there's 2,000 amos. So there's a Tanoim already, so there's Machlokas Tanoim in Mesechah Sotet Al Chav Zayin and Beis. what it means. 1,000 amos, 2,000 amos. So Rabbi Kiva says the Migros they give the Levim is 1,000 amos alone, and the Alpayim amos is for Tchum Shabbos. Rabbi Lozim Nosh Rabbi Yosef Glili says 1,000 amos Migros, Valpayim amos Sadus Ukramim. It's 2,000 amos of Sadus Ukramim. So Machlokas Rishonim, what Rabbi Lozim Nosh Rabbi Yosef Glili means. Rashi says that it's the first 1,000 amos around the city, that's Migros. The next 1,000 amos around the city, that's Sadus Ukramim. That's how Rashi writes in Chumash, that's how Rashi writes in the Gemara. The Rambam in Shemitah V'Yovel, Parak Yiv Gimel, Halacha Beis, writes that 1,000 amos Migros, and then an additional 2,000 amos for Sadus Ukramim. It's 1,000 amos of Migros, and then another 2,000 amos, not another 1,000, but another 2,000 for Sadus Ukramim. Now, our Braisa tells us, from Lozer B'Rabbi Yossi says that from the Alpayim Amos of Tchum, 1,000 amos of it was Migros, and the rest of the Tchum Shabbos was Sadus Ukramim. Now that means that you don't have an additional 2,000 amos beyond the Migros, you have an additional 1,000 amos beyond the Migros, because the Tchum Shabbos certainly doesn't start past the Migros, the Tchum Shabbos starts past the city. So it turns out that it's very, very difficult to figure out how the Rambam is going to read our Gemara. Okay, we'll leave off with that. Kasha, and Hashem, we'll try to give the other answers tomorrow, and we'll eventually get to the Mishnah and to the things. Right.